This is a book called Bhakti Ratnakara, which is written by a close associate of Lord Chaitanya about the activities of Lord Chaitanya Nityananda, but especially the next generation, the Goswamis and their disciples, Srinivas, Narottam, and Shamananda. This is about Goridas Pandit. He lived on... What?
I couldn't hear because of the noise, the circumstance.
Didn't hear what?
Described.
Huh?
I couldn't hear what you described, so you can repeat it again.
Sorry, this place is so noisy. This is a book called Bhakti Ratnakara. You know, maybe if you move closer you could hear better. Everybody always tries to sit as far away as possible. Then we either have to shout or go to big machine and make everything loud. Upanishad means to come close to the guru. But everyone's afraid. They want to be far away. It's Kali Yuga. You see that everywhere. If you go on a train, you know, everybody sits as far away from the next person as possible until it fills up. Anyway, it's about the associates of Lord Chaitanya and a lot about the next generation, the Goswamis, which were associates, and then their disciples. So this is one devotee named Goridas Pandit. His temple is still there in Ambika Kalna. It's across from the Ganga from Shantipur. So Lord Chaitanya came there. He took a boat and he rowed the boat across the Ganga. And then he gave him the oar that he used. And he said, he's giving it to you. He said, with this oar, mankind can cross the ocean of this material world. And he embraced him. That oar is still there. If you go there, you can see it. So it's not a very big one. Maybe it fell apart or something. Then he embraced him and took him to Nadia. Who can understand the plan of Lord Chaitanya? And he gave him the lyrics that he himself had composed. And he went home and regularly read the Gita. Lord Chaitanya had written out a Bhagavad Gita and he gave him that. That's still there also, handwritten by Lord Chaitanya. Of course, it's on palm leaves and it's in Bengali, but they have it in a box, you can see it. Not an ordinary thing. Simply by seeing the handwriting of the Lord on the Gita, he got extremely pleasure. And anyone going there now can also see this handwritten book written by Lord Chaitanya and also the oar. Who can describe the fame of the pundit to whom Krishna Chaitanya and Nityananda were the life and soul? He was always singing the glory of Lord Chaitanya and Nityananda and knew nothing but their lotus feet. Nitai and Chaitanya were the lights within his eyes. Who can understand this total devotion? On sight of the Lord gave him immense pleasure, and a moment of separation gave him great sorrow. Understanding the mind of the pundit, Lord Chaitanya once told him to bring a neem tree from Navadvipa and make deities of Gornitai. He assured Goridas that he would find no trouble carving the deities and all of his desires would be fulfilled. He was ecstatic and carefully carved the deities. Those are very big deities. They're in a special place. He made these deities was only a recipient of the Lord's grace. It was the Lord's own manifestation and others were merely instruments for the Lord's desire. Looking at the deities, he was overwhelmed with joy and could not restrain his tears. Considering himself most fortunate, he made arrangements for the installation ceremony of the deities and took help from some of his favorite friends. Following the prescribed rituals, he bathed and anointed the deities at an auspicious moment and then seated them on their throne. the devotees of the Lord were happy to see the deities of Nitai and Chaitanya properly installed. The beauty of these two deities pleased the whole world, but true realization of their presence was reserved for the followers of Mahaprabhu. It was well known that Nitai Chaitanya were bound by the love of Gauridas. The pastimes revealed by Nitai and Chaitanya at the house of Gauridas are well known. How can I describe the activities of Gauridas, who was always engaged in serving the own two lords? Out of love, Nimai and Chaitanya once told him smilingly, "Who can know your activities when you even do not know that you are always absorbed in love and devotion?" Quote, "O Subal, can you remember this, your first life? Can you remember the great fun we had when we took the cows to the bank of the Jamuna?" Saying this, the deities turned themselves into Krishna and Balaram with black and fair complexions. In that form, they held a horn, a flute, cane, peacock feathers, and ornaments. They looked beautiful in the dress of cowherd boys. Beholding their beauty, he was overwhelmed with ecstatic joy. Only by the will of the Lord could he regain his consciousness and be. He stared steadily at the deities on the throne. When the two lords displayed their pastimes in this way, Gauridas experienced ecstatic love. One day he made food and requested the deities to eat. The lords heard the sweet request of Gauridas, but without touching their food, they remained silent. Seeing the attitude of his two lords, he told them in mock anger, "If you are satisfied without food, then why do you force me to cook?" This is intimate, and we don't have such relationships with the deities. It was then Gauridas' turn to keep quiet, and the Lord spoke, and this is the deities, "Gauridas, you can never be satisfied by preparing a small quantity of food. Your habit is to prepare different varieties of dishes in large quantities. When we request you not to cook like this, you never listen. Your laborious efforts are painful to us. Remember, whatever can be prepared most easily will be satisfying to us. I shall never do it again. From now on, I shall offer you only rice with boiled spinach." This statement made the lords laugh, and they began to eat the meal he had prepared. "You have made such tasty dishes, we are very satisfied," said Nitai and Chaitanya, praising his cooking. The sight of this deity's eating brought the unlimited pleasure to the eyes of Gauridas. One day he wanted to dress the two lords with jewelry. Reading the minds of the pundits, the deities decorated themselves with different ornaments, fitted with rare jewels. When he entered the temple, the pundits saw that the deities on the throne were already decorated. He was overwhelmed with emotion, and when he regained his normal composure, he saw the deities dressed as usual. "I've never seen that type of ornaments before," he thought. "I wanted to decorate the body of my lords with ornaments, but I did not know what type of ornaments to use. Now my ignorance has been removed." He was contemplating, the Lord said, "Ornaments made of flowers please me the most." The pundit decorated Nitai and Chaitanya with flowers. Long flower gardens draped the neck of the feet of the Lord down to his feet, created unparalleled beauty. What fun! The pundit placed a mirror in front of the Lord. The devotional activities of Gauridas Pandit became well known, but I have described only in brief. In those deities, he gives only a very quick darshan. He started that because he was afraid that some other devotee would be better than him and the deities would leave. So he just opens for like 1 minute at the most and then closes it. And still like that. You have to wait, and then he just doesn't allow pictures. His disciple was Hridaya Chaitanya. Formerly he was known as Hridaya Nanda and was a great devotee of the Lord. I shall now narrate how Hridaya Nanda was renamed late Hridaya Chaitanya and how he received the mercy of Pandit Gauridas. One morning, Gauridas went to meet Gadadhar Pandit. With a broad smile, Gadadhar cordially received Goridas and said, "Since I have seen you in the morning, I know it will be a good day for me." But Goridas sweetly said, "No, it is for your own, my own good that I have come here." Gadadhar said, "With what can I please you?" And Goridas said, "I must pray to you for something." Gadadhar said, "Everything here is yours. Take whatever you want without any hesitation." "I want Hridayananda," the Goridas, whereupon Gadadhar called for Hridayananda. With an elated heart, Hridayananda came forward and bowed to the feet of the two pundits. Goridas spoke to Hridayananda, Hriday Pandit, and then dedicated him to the care of Goridas Pandit. The manner in which Gadadhar Pandit showered his mercy on Sri Hriday is well known to all. He raised Hriday from his childhood and taught him the scriptures. Although Gadadhar Pandit was overwhelmed by his affection for the boy, he happily gave him to Goridas. Without receiving the grace of the Lord, who can understand the aims and objectives of Gadadhar and Pandit Goridas? Goridas spent time with Gadadhar Pandit discussing the glories of the Lord. Then taking leave, Goridas and Hridayananda went home. In due course of time, he gave Diksha Mantra to Hriday and then dedicated him to the feet of Nitai and Chaitanya. Hriday truly dedicated himself to the service of the Lord and pleased Goridas very much. Who can understand the activities of Goridas, who floated continually in waves of love? One day he told Hridayananda that the Lord's birthday was approaching. "I shall visit the house of my followers to collect provisions for the festival, and I shall return. Be careful in your service to the Lord." Goridas passed some time in solitary places with some other devotees, singing about the glories of the Lord. Meanwhile, Hriday thought, "Why is the master late in coming? Only two more days remain before the ceremony and enough provisions have already been collected here." Considering these points and remembering the feet of the spiritual master, he decided to send invitations everywhere for the great occasion. Pandit Goridas returned home just one day before the festival when he heard that Hriday had sent invitations everywhere. Even without his permission, Goridas felt happy right to the core of his heart. Outwardly, however, he showed his displeasure and scolded him. "While I am still living, you have acted in an independent manner. You have sent invitations at your own will, but I shall not join you." Hriday bowed to the master's feet and went to the bank of the Ganga where he lived under a tree. Goridas started the festival and Mahantas from far and near assembled there. One wealthy man sent a large quantity of provisions and a boat. A rich man met Hridayananda on the bank of the Ganga and handed the provisions. Hriday sent a message to Pandit Goridas. In mock anger, the Pandit told the messenger to tell Hriday that he could use the provisions for his own celebration. On the order of his guru, he happily began to celebrate the occasion using these things. A large number of Vaishnavs assembled there, and in their association, Hriday performed wonderful sankirtan. At the sound of the kola and kartel, kola is mridanga, reached the sky, it seemed that the ocean of happiness would overflow its banks. Vaishnavs danced in a circle with tears flowing continuously down their faces. Suddenly, Hriday observed that both Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, the incarnations of love, were dancing within the circle. Their style of dancing was indescribable, and their physical beauty brightened the whole world. The faces of these two lords defeated the pride of the moon, and Hridayananda cried in joy as he observed them. Hearing the joyous sound of that sankirtan, Goridas became very pleased, although he remained in his own place. He gently told Gangadas, "Now time to worship, go to the temple." But when Hara Gangadas entered the temple, he found no deities were there. When they reported this, Goridas was overwhelmed in ecstasy as he realized that the two lords had been bound in love of Hridayananda. With a smile, he took his stick in his hand and although he was happy at the core of his heart, he displayed outward anger and headed for what the Sankirtan gathering by the side of the Ganga. There he saw the two lords dancing. Observing the mock anger of the pundit, the two Prabhus clandestinely entered the temple again. Gauridas witnessed that Sri Chaitanya had entered into the heart of Hridayananda. Seeing Chaitanya present in the heart of Hridayananda, Gauridas could not control his tears. He looked continually with unblinking eyes. He forgot his mock anger, and unconsciously the stick fell from his hand. Stretching out his arms in ecstatic love, he went forward to embrace Hriday. How fortunate you are. From this day I name you Hriday Chaitanya, the man in whose heart Chaitanya always resides. He drenched Hridayananda with his tears, and the disciple fell at the feet of the master. Together they returned to the temple. They would have such tears, I think, they'd just become completely wet. Right? You see people, sometimes a few tears get on their face. This was just pouring out. Those are ecstatic tears, not sad tears. Sad tears will never be like that. Acknowledging the special effulgence of the Lord, Gauridas appointed Hriday Chaitanya to the total service of the deities. The Vaishnavas were all happy about this, and the great festival they held defies description. The grace of the Lord on Hriday became known to all. This is a story about Hridayananda's obtaining the name of Hriday Chaitanya. Shamananda and Hriday Chaitanya. Hriday Chaitanya was the life of Shamananda. Only a drop of his mercy could help one obtain all his desires. He blessed Shamananda extensively and grew disappointed only when Shamananda started for Utpala. Shamananda bowed at the lotus feet of his master with tears in his eyes. Before Nittai and Chaitanya, Shamananda lay prostrate on the dusty ground of the temple and his body smeared with dust. After paying his respects to the associates of the Lord, Shamananda prepared to leave Ambika, but he was unable to travel because of his excessive emotions. The associates of Mahaprabhu were also filled with emotion and tried to console Shamananda in various ways. After distributing Mahaprabhu's devotion in Utkala, please return to Ambika, they all requested. This Shamananda was originally initiated there, and then he was sent to Vrindavan to study with Jiva Goswami because he was such an intellectually advanced devotee. So this is when he was sent back to preach in his home place, which is Utkala in Orissa, but he stopped to visit his guru. The son of Duruki then left, that's Shamananda, left for Utkala, holding the memory of the feet of his guru in his heart. As he traveled, he sang the glories of Nittai and Chaitanya. He grew mad with love and entangled other travelers in the same loving madness. Even great heretics began to feel fortunate when they saw Shamananda and took shelter in him. There was a village named Dandeshwara in the middle of Gaudadesh, which had formerly been the residence of Krishna Mandala. Later, Krishna Mandala had decided to live in Utkala. How can I describe the wonderful activities that were performed in Dandeshwara? Shamananda chose to pass through that village on his tour, and everyone was pleased to see him. From there he reached Darendra village, where he felt he should send letters to Sri Acharya Thakur and Thakur Mahashaya, Srinivas and Narottam. He wrote the two letters, which contained the particulars about his travels. Shamananda sent the letter with a letter bearer to the proper place. The letters contained statements of his love and devotion and documented the fact that he had gratified Utkala by his presence. When Thakur Mahashaya received Shamananda's letter, he gladly read it in the presence of everyone. Thakur Mahashaya then sent the letter bearer to Sri Acharya, who was still in Vishnupur. Therefore, Naratam began to visit various places of Navadvip, the condition of Vana Vishnupur. Srinivas Acharya became excited with emotion when he received the letter from Naratam. He then read and reread the letter of Shyamananda. He told his associates about some of the transcendental activities of Shyamananda. King Vira Hambira took Shyamananda's letter from the Acharya and touched it to his head. Simply by hearing the qualities of Shyamananda, he became eager to meet him. This was the king that was a big thief, and he's the one that stole the books when they were carrying the books of the Goswamis to Bengal. An astrologer told the king that these people had very valuable jewels in their trunks, and so he sent the thieves and they stole the books. But then Srinivas found them, but the king, when he opened the box and saw the books, he completely changed. And he just lamented and he quit being a thief, and he started having Srinivas teach Bhagavatam in his kingdom. And so Srinivas stayed there for some time to be the Raj Guru, and he made the whole kingdom devotees. Thakur was pleased to hear the eagerness of the king. Sri Acharya then told the king he would be going to Sri Kanda and Yajipur, Yajigram. The king said, "Vana Vishnupur has been glorified by your presence. Without you will become a forest. Do not worry, I will return soon," said Srinivas. "Please take this worthless person with you," said the king. "Not now," said the Acharya. "I know that I should not keep you," the king said, "but I am unable to behave properly in this respect." The king sobbed uncontrollably, and Acharya Srinivas had to pacify him in various ways. After leaving the Acharya, the king went to the interior of his palace and met his queen, who lamented bitterly, saying, "The whole life of Vishnupur will be plunged into utter darkness." The king said, "This time it is impossible to force him to stay here." And the queen replied, "I know that, but how shall we live without him?" And she just cried. Sri Vira Hambira composed himself and somewhat consoled the king before returning to the Acharya. Srinivas getting ready to leave. The king made all preparations for Srinivas to leave. When everything was ready, the king requested the Acharya to come into his palace. The queen's happiness at having this last darshan of Acharya Prabhu is beyond anyone's description. She bowed at the feet of the Acharya, lying prostrate on the ground, and at the time of his departure, she sank into the depth of misery. Acharya Prabhu was gladly moved by their devotion, and after taking their leave, he returned to his own house. When news spread that Acharya Prabhu would go to Yajigram, the inhabitants of the village Vanavishnupur grew morose, and they began to cry helplessly. They expressed their sorrow. "Unfortunately, we cannot think of any way to prevent his leaving." A great crowd gathered near the Acharya because each person in Vishnupur had dedicated himself to the feet of Srinivas. They wanted to see him one more time and beg him not to go. Sri Acharya Prabhu started his journey from Vanavishnupur with many gifts. The king and his men accompanied Acharya for some distance, and then Prabhu ordered them to go home. Who can describe the king's miserable state of mind caused by this separation? The king and his men returned to Vanavishnupur, and Srinivas Acharya continued toward Yajigram. People in the entire area came to know that the Acharya had gone to Yajigram. News of Acharya Prabhu's return to his own home in Yajigram brought joy to the inhabitants of that village. They ran to tell Lakshmi Priya Devi, who was overwhelmed with affection for her son. Upon reaching Yajigram, Srinivas first went to see his mother. He bowed at her feet, and Lakshmi Priya became very happy to see the face of her son. Her happiness was boundless. She was elated like a poor man who had just suddenly gotten rich. People of Yajigram happily rushed to Lakshmi Priya's house to meet Srinivas. Sri Acharya satisfied them all with his sweet smile and kind words. A calm and quiet evening settled after the busy day. Seated at his house, Sri Acharya and his disciples added an extraordinary beauty to the atmosphere of Jajigram. Acharya discussed the devotional scriptures with the disciples, and everyone was satisfied. The wise men of Jajigram had great affection for Srinivas and assembled at his house. He welcomed them. Srinivas offered everyone a proper seat. The wise Vaishnavas were pleased by Srinivas's hearty welcome, and he inquired from them about the happenings in Jajigram. Srinivas narrated the episode of his life in Vrindavan on his attainment of the favor of Rupa and Sanatan in his dream. He also told how Bhatta Gopal had favored him and how he had studied the books written by the Goswamis. He told them how he had visited various places in Vrindavan and how he had traveled to Goda with the books of the Goswamis. He told them how the books had been stolen in Vanavishnupur and later recovered, and how he had decided to return to Jajigram. Each Vaishnava harbored a different emotion while listening to the narration of Srinivas. With great difficulty, they controlled these emotions and simply stared at the face of Srinivas. Srinivas Acharya casually asked them about the Vaishnava Prabhus. With heavy sighs, they informed Srinivas, "Thakur Narahari is half dead. He lies on the ground in semi-consciousness in a state of laments and tears. Sri Raghunandan and other devotees sing the glories of Goda all the time. Who can tolerate the condition of Narahari Thakur? What to speak of his effect on human beings? His lamentation melts the stones and pieces of wood. Not long ago, Das Gadadhar came to Kanta Ka Nagara from Navadvip. He sang the glories of Goda constantly, and it pierced our hearts. Sometimes he lamented, sometimes he was silent, and sometimes he would sing the glory of Gadadhar Pandit. Sometimes he would sing the name of Nityananda, and sometimes the name of Srinivas. Sometimes he would cry, 'O Prabhu, how long shall I suffer in this world?' In this miserable condition, Gadadhar Das would lie on the ground like a dead man. He lived always in seclusion, without food or water, and his body burned in the life of separation." This is because separation from the Panchatattva. "O Srinivas, the Prabhus of Navadvipa have disappeared one by one from the world. We can barely speak the heartbreaking news that even Devi Vishnupur, Vishnu Priya, has disappeared." With that, Srinivas fell on the ground unconscious and his body became stiff. They were sorry to see Srinivas' miserable condition. Late in the night, he regained his senses, but even a stone would be melted by his pitiful crying. A man named Gopal Das took Srinivas on his lap and tried to console him. He gradually became pacified. For the remainder of the night, they discussed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In the dead of night, all the devotees, including Srinivas, fell asleep. In a most beautiful form, Sri Advaita, the image of love, appeared to Srinivas in a dream. His eyes stretched out to his ears, and the beauty of his face defeated millions of moons. His long hands surpassed the beauty of the golden stalks of the lotus and took Srinivas lovingly on his lap. Advaita behaved in such a way that the burning fire in Srinivas's heart was cooled. Having shown with great affection, Advaita said to Srinivas, "You will deliver many poor souls. You must preach the teachings of Mahaprabhu everywhere. Many wise men will suggest that you marry, and you should do so without any hesitation." Thereafter, Advaita disappeared and the dawn broke. Srinivas could not control his tears as he remembered the favor bestowed by Sri Advaita. Having finished his scheduled morning duties, he started hurriedly for Sri Kanda. Not enough? So it's quite interesting, huh? See the intensity of love and a devotion that all the devotees had for it. And always the messages you have to preach. They were all big preachers. So they were studying in Vrindavan with Jiva Goswami and learning it. But then they were sent to preach at Narottam, to his home place, in Bengal and Srinivas to his home place and Shamananda to his home. And they converted practically the entire country. They initiated millions, they says. Mostly by kirtan. They were great preachers, but most of, especially Narottam and Shamananda by so much kirtan. Srinivas by kirtan and a lot of philosophy with his disciples. Of course they preach philosophy, but mostly by very special kirtan. And they just, everybody surrendered. Even we see that just by seeing them, they were so beautiful and they just reminded everybody of Lord Chaitanya. And then you see how the Navadvipa and Puri was the same way. When all the Panchatattva was gone, when Lord Chaitanya left, then the devotees, his intimate devotees, they just, they didn't eat, they didn't sleep, they didn't do anything, they just cry all the time. And they grew old very fast, and they all, one by one, were leaving their bodies. And these devotees were trying to meet them, but every time they would try to meet somebody, they would find out they already left their body. So the intensities of separation just kept increasing. And the love would increase and increase, this intense desire. So then it would get so intense, they would feel like suicide or something, and then Lord Chaitanya or Nityananda would come in a dream and pacify him. Tell them, you're going to preach, you're going to do such wonderful work, you have to do this, you can't, you know, leave your body. So we want to hear about this and then gradually develop such kind of intense attachment to Krishna. We see people have such attachment for material things. They cry, they, you know, they get joyful when they meet their friends or when they get to, in a get their whiskey or whatever they're attached to. Those are all misdirected emotions. People get so excited when they have a baby. They're totally absorbed in that baby. Which is all right, but we should be thinking that this baby, Krishna's in the heart of this baby, and Krishna gave me the baby. And we should have more attachment for Krishna than for the... Even we should be take care of the family and everything, but there's... First thing should be Krishna, more than anything else. That doesn't mean we ignore everything else, but we, like Srinivas first went to visit his mother. Of course, his mother was a devotee, but anyway. So, Srinivas Thakur ki jai, Goridas Pandit ki jai, Telavi Bhaktavrinda ki jai.